to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos. We're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Yes, it is our number two of the program, and that's we like to dig into a little theme. And so tonight we're going to dig into the little theme for a little while. Of little people called leprechauns. Now, mind you, I am here in Puerto Rico, but in the studio we have producer Forrest Connor in Asheville. We have investigator Shelley Wright. So, Forrest, Connor's an Irish name, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you're Irish. Shelley's Irish. I've got some Irish, Brigman and Dillingham. Those are Irish names from my mother's side. So we all have a little Irish thing going on here. But, you know, Forrest, you and I are big guys. And Shelley's a little petite redhead.
Right.
And, you know, again, we know she loves gold and all that. So do you think she might have a little more Irish than we do?
She might. I mean, of course, you know, the red hair. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of people from Ireland. They say, you know, a lot of people over there don't have red hair.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. They have black hair, it seems like.
Right.
Yeah, and your hair is a little darker brown. My hair is a little lighter brown. I probably have a little more of the German-English as well in there. But anyway, so now Shelley Wright.
Yes?
We've had this conversation going on for a year now. About this extremely important topic, do leprechauns have little pieces of gold or big pieces of gold?
Yes.
Now let's start with some real world experience here. You have worked at Wright's Coin Shop pretty much since you were a child.
Yes, I really have.
Slave labor. Yes. So now, what is the most gold you have ever held in your hands?
The most? I don't know. I mean, we deal with lots and lots of gold.
Well,
and
okay,
I don't know what the most is that I've ever held.
I'll give you an example. Like, a few years ago, I had a buddy who was really worried about the U.S. dollar, and so he pretty much went out one day and just bought $25,000 worth of gold coins. And which was, you know, a nice little stack of coins. I don't know how many that would have been. Depending on the value of gold at the time, I'm going to say approximately 20 coins or something.
Right.
And so he handed that to me. And, I mean, and really, it wasn't much bigger than a roll of quarters. So
right.
To think this was $25,000 in my hand was pretty amazing. But I'm pretty sure, even though I have seen a lot more gold than that, I mean, for example, I got to go see the Crown Jewels in London, so that's the most gold I've ever seen. But that $25,000 worth, that little stack of about 20 coins, that's the most I've ever held in my hand, and I don't know how much that weighed, but, you know, I'm assuming each coin was a 1 ounce coin, et cetera, so, you know, it was a nice compact little weight. Have you ever held, you know, more than that amount in your hand?
I have, and I frequently have that much or more that I'm, you know, carding up, getting ready to get at, to put out in the cases at the shop.
So do you think that at one point or another, and you don't have to say when or if it was even at your shop or whatever, but at one point do you think that you may have had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gold in your hand?
In my little hands?
Yeah.
Well, maybe on my desk.
Mm-hmm. So you, if a leprechaun had a pot of gold like you see in the movies.
Right.
And a traditional cooking cauldron, I'm going to say, is probably something like maybe a foot and a half in diameter, something like that. I'm just pulling these numbers out of thin air, and maybe like a foot deep. If that was full of gold coins, that would be millions and millions of dollars, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would weigh so much. Do you think you could pick that up?
I don't think.
The cauldron itself would, like a big cat cauldron itself would probably weigh more than the average person could pick up.
Yeah.
So therefore.
And of course, me being the numismatist that I am, I would be like, no, don't put all of those coins together. They're going to rub together and they're going to take away from the value.
Huh. So that's another thing people have to consider, then. These coins are all slightly degraded if they're just piled in a big bowl together.
Yeah, you don't want to let them clink together. You don't want to do that.
Okay, so if then we can just presume that a typical pot of gold is going to be too heavy for a leprechaun to tote around anyway, they may as well be big coins then, right?
Well, they may as well be big coins. And I think, you know, if leprechauns are magical, and I think that he wouldn't have to actually pick up his pot of gold.
What
himself.
About it could be a he?
It could be a she. It could be me.
Well, but you know, actually, Forrest, most accounts of leprechauns throughout history have been males. I was reading about that. Yeah. Okay. Here's a question, Shelley. We went over some facts related to leprechauns last year. Let's see how much that you may have retained. Especially, I'll ask Forrest most of this, but I'll ask you this one question, Shelley. Originally, what color did leprechauns wear all the time?
Originally?
Mm-hmm.
Was it black?
Nope. It was red.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Everybody thinks of leprechauns wearing green, but the earliest accounts of leprechauns, which actually stems back to the Middle Ages, has them wearing red outfits. And I'm not sure where the green sort of came into the picture, frankly. But it says here is one of the very early descriptions of a leprechaun. Quite a beau in his dress, notwithstanding, for he wears a red square-cut coat, richly laced with gold, and inexpressible of the same, cocked hat, shoes, and buckles. They say here the trooping fairies have a jacket with 7 rows of buttons, with 7 buttons to each row, and it says here that in Ulster, the creature wears a cocked hat, and when he's up to anything unusually mischievous, he leaps onto a wall and spins, balancing himself on the point of the hat with his heels in the air. Forrest, do you know what leprechauns do for a living?
They are tailors or cobblers, are they not?
They're cobblers, yeah, that's right. They're always working on shoes for some reason. You know, I don't know where all this stuff comes from. Nobody seems to know. But the early stories say, yeah, they're cobblers. And in fact, they claim that they believe the word itself, leprechaun, comes from the old Irish word lucorpan, which is a compound of the roots lu, which is small, and corp, which is body. So basically, small body, I guess it'd be just like a little person. And then they say an alternative spelling is lethbregon, and that may have come from a different folk etymology, from the word leth, which means half, and brogue, which means apparently shoe, because often you see them working on a single shoe. So these are two theories as to where the where this comes from. But anyway, okay, let's talk a little bit here about, okay, Forrest, what do leprechauns do when they're happy?
They dance a jig.
That's exactly right. Very good. Here's a good question that I bet you guys won't remember the answer to. If you find a leprechaun, how can you determine how many gold coins are going to be in that leprechaun's particular stash?
You ask how old that leprechaun is.
Well, you're right. One coin for every year of his life.
Right.
So obviously, you should hope to catch an old leprechaun. And, of course, when you catch a leprechaun, like you stated earlier, Forrest, you have to keep your eyes on the leprechaun. If you look away, you're in trouble.
Don't look away from the leprechaun.
You know, I'll tell you something this kind of reminds me of, because I was recently talking about it, and it happens to involve the color green. I've brought up Ida like two or three times already in this show. She's going to love this. My friend down here, Ida, her full name is Margarita, which I love. I think that's the greatest name a woman could ever have, Margarita. I love margaritas. And so she is a retired Navy officer, and she's the captain of her own little boat. And she spends a lot of time on the sea, and she has been talking to me for the past year about how once in a while, especially here on the west coast of Puerto Rico, you can go outside, particularly a certain time of year, and we happen to be in it right now, and watch the sunset. You get the most magnificent sunsets here because, you know, we're facing the west and we're in the middle of the ocean. And she says, right as the sun is going down, if you don't look away, if you keep your eyes open and you're lucky and all the conditions are perfect, just before the golden rim of the sun slips below the watery horizon, you will see a green flash. And it lasts only a second or two at the most. It's like an old neon green flash bulb popping off into the colors of the sky, and people gasp with wonder when they see it. And so you have groups of people who get around here in the evening, and they are watching that sunset with their eyes wide open so intently they're afraid to look away to see that green flash. Have you ever heard of that before, Forrest?
I have. Actually, when I was in sailing in the Keys, the captain of our ship told we were down there. He's like, watch the sun on the horizon, and just before it goes away, you're going to see the green flash. I actually looked at Shelley and told her what you were about to say just before you said it.
Yeah. We're up on a break. I have not seen the green flash yet, but I think when I see it, it will be good luck. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about leprechauns, and I'm going to tell you about a family in Chicago living in a big million-dollar home, having a lifestyle of the rich and famous. Well, now their financial secret has been revealed. Wait till you hear what it is. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we're going to come back with not an Irish, but a Scottish tune for you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Well, a Scotsman clad in kilt left the bar one evening fair, and one could tell by how he walked that he'd drunk more than his share. He fumbled round until he could no longer keep his feet, and he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io, he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. About that time two young and lovely girls just happened by. One says to the other with a twinkle in her eye, see yon sleeping Scotsman so strong and handsome built. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. Ring ding diddle little laddie-o, ring da diddly i-o, I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. They crept up on that sleeping Scotsman quiet as could be, lifted up his kilt about an inch so they could see, and there behold for them to view beneath his Scottish skirt was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. Ring ding diddle little laddie-o, ring da diddly i-o, was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. They marveled for a moment, then one said, we must be gone. Let's leave a present for our friend before we move along. As a gift they left a blue silk ribbon tied into a bow. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Ring ding diddle diddle adio, ring da diddly io. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Now the Scotsman woke to nature's call and stumbled towards the trees. Behind the bush he lifts his kilt and gawks at what he sees. And in a startled voice he says to what's before his eyes, oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize. Ring ding diddle diddle adio, ring da diddly io. Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize.
Yeah, we're getting you in the mood for St. Patrick's Day, and all you Irish people, just calm down, chill out. I know that's a Scottish,
it's Scottish
song. I'm not confusing the two, but come on, there's a similarity between Irish and Scottish. There really is. I'm getting in trouble saying that to certain people, but, you know, there are no Irish pubs here in Puerto Rico, so I'm safe. You know that, Forrest, I've not been able to find one single Irish pub in all of Puerto Rico.
Wow. Maybe that's your calling down there.
Maybe, I've thought about that.
You need to open up a Warren's.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be my claim to fame down here. I open up the first Irish pub in Puerto Rico. I've actually been in some bars and taught them how to make a version of an Irish car bomb. Yeah, but they don't have Guinness.
Do they know the pickleback down there?
I've had a couple conversations with people about it, but they don't usually have pickle juice on hand down here. So, and I tell you something else that nobody ever has in Puerto Rico, lemons.
Really?
Yeah, they've got limes out the wazoo. Okay. Never a lemon.
What's up with that?
I was asking one of the bartenders here, who's a really good mixologist, and he said it's some kind of import issue with lemons. As a matter of fact, they call limes lemons down here, even though they're actually called lima. They just call them lemons. But there, so if you have a shot like a birthday cake shot, which requires a lemon to make the flavor work. You just may as well forget it. I've done birthday cake shots down here with limes. It doesn't taste like a birthday cake. So, well, we are talking about Gaelic and interesting things, magical little leprechauns and money. In fact, let me throw this in here. Imagine a box that can make your wishes come true. Does that sound unbelievable? Well, millions of people around the world say it works, and I'm talking about the Wishing Machine Radionics Box. These are extremely rare, okay? You can't run to Walmart and grab one of these. But if you go right now to joshuapwarren.com, there's no period after the P, you can watch a free video about the Wishing Machine and what it can do for your health, your relationships, your finances, and more. And we have been selling these as an experiment with free shipping and handling. That promo is going to end soon. I just talked to Dr. Mulder on the telephone, the technician who makes these things, and we're selling so many now that we just can't keep giving away shipping and handling. That's an expense that we're dealing with. So consider this a heads up. If you want to get one, you better order it right now. Go to joshuapwarren.com. Just watch the free video about the Wishing Machine Radionics Box, and you'll see why I and countless people around the world use one every day. And if there's any doubt that magic exists, well, you just check out that box and you'll see. And people say that leprechauns are magical creatures. But, Forrest, have you ever heard of what is called the Cluricon? I probably mentioned this last year, but I'd forgotten about it. A Cluricon, does that ring any kind of a bell?
Not right offhand.
How about you, Shelley? Cluricon?
No, it doesn't.
They're related to leprechauns, apparently. Cluricons are tiny, drunken fairies who often play tricks on dishonest drunks. However, They are not cobblers, they don't have a pot of gold, and they can't grant wishes. So that sounds like a crappy little thing to run into, doesn't it?
Step on them.
Yeah, they're just good for nothing. So if you, you know, if you have a good day, you find a leprechaun, bad day, a chloricon. So whether you're an optimist or a pessimist might determine which one you run into this weekend. Oh my goodness. You know that, let's see here. You know the very first leprechaun movie there, Forrest?
The first leprechaun movie?
Yeah, you know, the one with the evil leprechaun, the horror movie.
I'm a leprechaun!
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember what famous actress was on that show? On that movie?
Yes, hold on. Was it Tilly, Jennifer?
No. It was Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston
new friends and date half of Hollywood.
Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of people think of leprechauns as really evil because of that movie, but according to one of the earliest texts here, let's see, the leprechaun is the son of an evil spirit and a degenerate fairy, and is, quote, not wholly good nor wholly evil, end quote. So
chaos,
he's a little gray figure. Yeah, yeah, something like that. Well, you know, everybody wants to meet a leprechaun one way or another so they can get some of that gold, so they can get their wishes granted, whatever they may be. You can't wish for more wishes, apparently, if they say there's a little catch. You can't do that. But speaking of people who are living lavish lives, here's a story from Chicago. Headline, Family Living in Million-Dollar Home, Living Lifestyle of Rich and Famous Share Their Financial Secret. Oh, everybody's on the edge of their seat listening closely to this one, huh? Here we go. It says, a father, mother, and daughter from a posh Chicago suburb lived so lavishly because they stole $7 million in merchandise during a decade-long shoplifting spree, traveling to stores nationwide and targeting dolls, toys, cosmetics, and other valuables. It says they were just arrested recently after returning home from a three-day trip through Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana. And they say that these people were... Here was the technique that seemed to be so successful. The woman of the household donned a long black skirt with large compartments sewn on the inside, and she would walk into stores and slip her skirt over things and walk out. And they say surveillance cameras show her skirt looking notably fuller than when she entered upon her exit. They were stealing everything from American Girl dolls and Furby robotic toys to coffee and steak knives. And then they would take these things and put them on eBay. They sold more than $690,000 in merchandise through eBay alone, not to mention moving it through other outlets. But they believed that they stole at least $7 million of goods just maybe over the last year. And was selling as much as they could on eBay, living like millionaires. How about that? So, what we all really need, Forrest, is a tall woman with very thin legs.
Okay.
And you just you wrap a skirt around her and send her to Walmart every day and see what she can.
Heck with Walmart. Send her over to Tiffany or somewhere like that.
She could probably squeeze a lot under a skirt at Tiffany's. Oh, my goodness. You might not even need a woman with long legs for that store.
Maybe she can go to Jared.
Yeah, she just needs more storage space. Oh, man. Well, that's interesting, but people always get caught eventually, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah, we sure do. So, gosh, it's already break time. Okay, well, when we come back, I told you I had some animal stories that I wanted to share with you this hour as well. And I'm going to share those when we return. One deals with a cat. The other deals with a dog. And the other deals with a fish. How about that? All good traditional pets. But in each case, something has gone awry. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for more of Speaking of Strange. Day weekend. Of course, St. Paddy's is actually this Monday, the 17th, and there's actually going to be a big St. Patrick's Day parade here in Boca Raton, Puerto Rico, and I've heard that it's quite a wild and ruckus party, and so I'm going to be going down there, and I plan to check that out.
Are they
going
to make you the Grand Marshal?
I wouldn't doubt it. I'm probably most qualified on a number of levels.
So they're going to have a St. Patrick's Day parade, but there are no Irish bars.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
There's no Irish bar, but Boca Raton is quite well known for it. And I've seen pictures of them doing their big St. Paddy's parade here, and, yeah, it looks pretty crazy. So We'll see. And then right after that, I'm going to be starting my travels. And that's why I want to remind everybody now that next Saturday, I'm going to be in Boise, Idaho, with George Norrie for his big event at the Egyptian Theater called George Norrie Live. And basically, he's going to be doing an interview show live on stage, one at a time, with three of his most popular guests. And that would be Jim Mars, Stanton Friedman, and yours truly. And it's my understanding that I come out first, and he's going to talk to me, and then he's going to sing for a while. And then, I guess Mars is next, and then maybe Stanton Friedman. But it's going to be a very interesting time. And then I fly off to New Mexico to shoot a television program. So our plan next week is to pre-record a show for you, because I will obviously not be here on Saturday. Hopefully we'll have a new show. If not, there will be a best of. But this time of year, it's been tricky to get some of these shows done because of weather. And, you know, there are always little issues with baseball games and that sort of thing. But if you like the show, you want to support us, you want to see us stay on the air, go to sunshinesimple.com. It's been recently updated. And just watch the video there about the solar generator you can get to keep your power and save a lot of money. You will see why it's the most powerful solar generator in the world for the price. sunshinesimple.com. You know, we were talking about money issues and different ways of attaining money. Well, here's what happens if you take a bet and lose it, and you've made what amounts to a foolish bet. A New Zealand man, apparently they say, did not take into account the wisdom of Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. And we're guessing the New Zealand man wished he'd paid more attention to the run part. He lost a bet whereby the loser had to legally change his name to, quote, Full Metal Havoc, more sexy and intelligent than Spock and all the superheroes combined with Frost Nova, end quote. Don't know what all that means. They say that it's got to be one of the biggest sucker bets when the man thought he had a winning hand but did not have the money to add to the pot and called, said he would change his name to anything if the other friend said if he lost. Well, apparently there in New Zealand, you cannot have a name that's more than 100 characters. So this name pushes it right up to the max. The guy filled out the form, changed the name, sent in the name change form with the fee included. And then, after that, he kind of forgot about it and didn't take it seriously until, just recently, about a week ago, his passport expired. And the government would not issue him a passport without his new legal name that I just gave. They said, that's your name now. You wanted it done. And they say it was registered March 2010, and that now, you know, he's got to live with it. It's actually 99 characters, and just one character short of the limit there. And they say that he can, Mr. Frost Nova, can change his name back if he wants, but he's going to have to cough up $127 for a fee and fill out the correct form. Pretty weird. Okay, I mentioned I have some animal stories, and let's move on to those. Here is a story that has really been making the rounds on the Internet. So many people are into cat stories, and I'd be surprised if most of you haven't heard about it already, but we may as well start here with Portland, Oregon. Portland police had to be called in to subdue a 22-pound house cat that trapped its owners inside their bedroom after attacking their baby. They say, fortunately, the baby really was not seriously injured by the incident. But the officers responded to a 911 call that evening from the couple who had locked themselves in their bedroom with the baby and their dog.
And the dog.
Yeah, after the cat had gone on the rampage, the 911 operators could hear the cat screeching and banging against the door in the background as the couple awaited help. Officers used a dog snare to capture the cat and place it in a crate. The owners told the dispatcher the cat had a history of violence. And now they say, for the time being, the cat has remained with its owners. Now, why on earth, if you have to call 911 because this creature is attacking you, why would you keep the thing? That's weird in and of itself. They would want to. And, you know, cats are scary. You know, they're a bag of razors as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, it reminds me, a friend of mine once had a crazy girlfriend who flipped out and locked herself in a room with all of her cats. And finally, a deputy had to be called to come and try to get her out of the room. It was a long story, but anyway, the deputy opens the door and is telling her to come out, and the woman is standing there naked, and she starts picking up cats and throwing the cats at the deputy. And when this deputy came running down the stairs, he looked like he'd been through a war. I mean, these cats had torn him to pieces. So, you know, you can't take it lightly how dangerous these cats are. And, you know, I know that if, you know, a big dog can tear you up, but it seems like cats will tear you up even when they're trying to love on you. You know, I mean, they're always going to poke you or scratch you some way. So, got to be careful with that. Here's a story from Tampa, Florida. An airplane was taking off, and all of a sudden, the airplane impacted with something large and had to make an emergency landing. The takeoff was aborted. The crew checked the runway to see if maybe the airplane had hit a bird. All they found was a fish, a 9-inch sheep's head fish. They took a sample of the smudge on the plane and sent the fish and the sample off for testing, and sure enough, the DNA from the smudge matched that of the fish. Now, let me clarify this for you. It was on Earth. It was on terra firma. This was not over the ocean. Airplane taking off on a runway hits a fish. Apparently, the fish had fallen from the sky as the airplane was taking off. And this reminds us of a 2012 story we heard about a Florida teacher in Naples who was hit during recess and suffered injury from a mysterious fish falling and hitting her from the sky. The only logical way of approaching this is that maybe a bird drops a fish, but on the other hand, if it's not a bird, is this something more Fortean? Could be. When we come back, well, we're going to have a dog story for you. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. minutes of tonight. Speaking of strange, hour number two. Coming up next hour, it will be the Dark 30 hour when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial stuff. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So you can determine whether or not you want to stick around for that. And let me remind you all, tonight's program is brought to you by the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the Home, the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price. Go look at the video and see the other things we've added to the new website update, including the new Geiger counter kit, etc., at sunshinesimple.com. Here's a story about, well, dogs. This comes to us from Naples, Italy. We threw Forrest off on that one. You were just jonesing to hit that bell, weren't you, Forrest?
Well, I heard Naples, town of Florida, so I just got...
In this case, it is Naples, Italy.
Well, this is the Italy bell, too.
Okay. From now on, it'll be Italy and Florida whenever Naples is mentioned. They say this is kind of crappy. Maybe not. The city of Naples, Italy is implementing a plan to catch people who don't pick up pet poop. This is according to the New York Times. If they find some pet poop, especially dog poop, on the street, they are going to take a sample of it and test its DNA to find out if it's your dog's turd on the sidewalk. If so, you will be fined almost $700. So that's 500 euros. That comes to almost 700 U.S. dollars. The high-tech tactic isn't just being used only in Italy, though. The trend has already spread to places like Israel, Canada, and in communities and apartment complexes in 43 states across the United States. They say, here's how it works. First, the dogs must be registered and have cheek swabs taken. This is how officials collect their DNA. In Naples, they're relying on blood samples. When a small sample of poop is found, it gets sent to a lab to be analyzed. And if it belongs to your dog, get ready to pay up. The Knoxville, Tennessee biotech company called PooPrance offers these services for between $34.95 and $59.95 per dog, depending on the size of the operation. Cedric Moses, the president of a similar company called PETCSI, says keeping a neighborhood clean comes down to financial incentives. Wow. You know, I don't even think George Orwell envisioned the day when your pets have to have their DNA on file. Wow. So their turds can be looked at by the government or whoever else is in charge. My goodness. I wonder what happens if they catch you with an unregistered pet. Or can they? You know?
I don't know. Maybe if a certain closed community might have certain rules that your pet has to be registered if you live in that community. But what if people in that community get visited by their grandchildren who have dogs and they're just out walking them?
Yeah, it seems like there are a few loopholes and loose areas in this plan. We're coming up fast on our break. I'll just squeeze this one in here. This is from California. Three third-grade California students were caught smoking marijuana at their elementary school. Two 8-year-olds and a 9-year-old toking it up in the school bathroom. And people are flipping out there, but they say that this is actually pretty normal nowadays for a lot of third graders. They found in 2011 a variety of New Mexico third graders were caught smoking weed at school. When one boy was asked by an officer how many times he'd smoked weed, the boy said he, quote, hit it hard a lot since about kindergarten, end quote. On that note, we'll take a break, and when we come back, it'll be Dark 30 time. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's a show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange.
There is sugar.